You are listening to GLJ Shorts, a podcast by the German Law Journal. Here, our authors present their articles in a nutshell, all of which you can find at germanlawjournal.com.
In this episode, Shubham Jain is presenting his article, Resistance and Reform as Responses to Human Rights Criticism, Relativism at FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022. The article appeared in volume 24, number 9, in March 2024, within a special section on the FIFA World Cup 2022 and the struggle for human rights in Qatar. In a nutshell, what is your article about?
So in the past 10 to 15 years, there has been an increased focus on human rights violations in sporting contexts. In my article, I look at a specific sport event, which is the FIFA World Cup Qatar Men's World Cup 2022, as a case study with a particular focus on the rights of migrant workers and the rights of the LGBTQI community, to examine the usefulness and the limitations of human rights advocacy in achieving meaningful transformative change. And my article sort of contributes to both the human rights literature and the sports and rights literature. From a human rights perspective, I use the lens of universalism and relativism. I show that the differences between the two schools is much narrower than thought, and we perhaps need a bit of both in trying to achieve a truly global idea of human rights. From a sports and rights perspective, what I try to show is that human rights advocacy and the language and the tools of human rights are useful, but they have their inherent limitations. And it's important to be cognizant of these limitations while we try to advocate for human rights so that we do not forget to use other means and methods of achieving transformative changes.
What motivated you to write this article?
I had the opportunity to visit Qatar during the World Cup in 2022 as a human rights volunteer, where my role was about reporting and observing on human rights concerns during the event. And during the event, it was interesting for me to observe also that there was a lot of support for the Pride movement, solidarity around the LGBTQI community, but that was primarily limited to the field in and around the stadium and by people who were not necessarily locals, which made me wonder if we are doing things right, if the advocacy and the spotlight on Qatar about the LGBTQI rights, was it something that the local people wanted in the same way as it was being portrayed in the dominant narrative and dominant media, whether there was enough space to consider for legitimate and reasonable competing values and arguments, for instance. So these sort of questions are the ones that I came back when I came from Qatar, and I wanted to sort of explore that in a little more detail, which is why I started working on this article and came up with this, what you have read and you might read.
Why did you choose a sport competition to analyze the struggle between relativism and universalism?
Obviously, we have seen a lot recently about racism and online abuse in sport. And in that sense, I think sport acts as a microcosm of our societies. It reflects our societies. It also reproduces the good and the bad parts of the society, including the human rights concerns. In that sense, I think sports is a useful lens. Also, secondly, I guess sport and organized sport, professional sport in particular, enjoy significant following and visibility, perhaps only rivaled by cinema and popular culture. More particularly, in this context, I think when the spotlight was being shown on Qatar in terms of its human rights practices before the World Cup, there's a lot of debate around Qatar sort of responding to it, which is in my title as well, responding to it in terms of relativism, trying to say that we can sort of continue with certain practices because these are our cultural practices.
What conclusions and possibly recommendations did you draw from your analysis?
Three points again, I guess. It's important to sort of think about things in threes, perhaps, and remember them. So first is, I think, the idea that why human rights language, tools, advocacy, etc. are useful and necessary. It is important to recognize and be cognizant of the limitations so that we don't put all our eggs in one basket and we use other means and measures to sort of advocate for transformative changes. Therefore, it is important that while we advocate for universalized sort of norms, we are judicious in their use. Those norms need to be translated locally and culturally for successful adoption. You need to sort of work with the local people and coordinate with various actors to ensure maximum impact. In that sense, it's important to be much broader than just advocate for formal legal reforms. And I think the third is the broader idea of universalism and relativism, that they offer a useful framework of analysis. It doesn't do anyone good to decline one and advocate for one over the other. And I think the duality is a little bit false. It's sort of both are necessary, and we must be both at the same time in some ways to truly reach a globalized version of human rights. In that sense, the challenge is to push for universalism when necessary and accept relativism when possible. So that is the thought I'd like to leave you with, I guess.
This was GLJ Shorts, a podcast by the German Law Journal. My name is Nora Markart, and I'm an editor of the German Law Journal. Find us at germanlawjournal.com and tell us what you think on Twitter or on Facebook. Thank you for listening.